Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 8 through 16 as we conclude chapter 3. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Great is the Mystery of Godliness. Great is the Mystery of Godliness. And according to a lot of theologians and some studious teachers of the Word of God, especially in the very early centuries, they all pertain to this last scripture, verse 16, as a hymn or a song. But for me and my understanding of this last scripture in verse 16, this scripture alone can defend who the Lord Jesus Christ is and regarding his deity. And so as I shared with some of you, that there are denominations that believe that Jesus was just a prophet or just the Son of God, that he wasn't God. Well, that's not what we believe here. Can I get an amen? Because it's clear in scriptures that he is the God-man. So let's look at verses 8 through 16. It reads, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And last verse here. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Wow. Wow. And this happened 2,000 years ago. He was received back up in glory. And now the Bible says he sits at the right hand of his Father. But Jesus left to come down to this earth to die for our sins. Can I get an amen? So it's been several weeks since we've looked into 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so we're picking it up from a few weeks ago, almost a month. So let's look at verse 8 as we look into this passage of scripture as we conclude in this chapter. So verse 8 reads, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy for money. So saints, let's clarify what deacon means is one who serves. That's what a deacon is. And I can point out several deacons that I could identify in our church because they love to serve God. And even though there's not a title given, but according to the Word of God, that's how God identifies you as a servant, someone that loves to serve the Lord. And they do it because they love God. They don't do it out of obligation. They do it because they love the Lord and they want to please Him. And that's what it's all about. That's what I've learned early in my walk with God. It's not about men and women. It's about men and women coming together as one and serving the King. And so this position was possibly begun by the apostles in the Jerusalem church to care for the physical needs of the congregation. Deacons were leaders in the church, and their qualifications resembled those of the elders. Now, the elders were they were more studious in the Word of God, and they're the ones that were allowed to teach the Word of God, the elders. But deacons are just as special as an elder. Because there are those who are silent, and yet they serve with a wonderful heart. They don't cause ruckus. They don't cause, you know, divisions. They just love God, and they're just happy that God has called them. And it doesn't matter whether it's a congregation of 3,000 or if there's 40. It doesn't pertain that to them. Their heart is because they love God. And that's how God has raised us up, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so their roles were probably somewhat different as they carried out some of the more practical tasks of running and maintaining a church are the deacons, the servants. Let's look at Acts 6, 1 through 6. And let's identify how God identifies the deacons. Now, in the days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12, who are the 12? The apostles, summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and what? Serve tables." Look at verse 3. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation." Now, when they gathered these brothers in the Lord, one of the things that the apostles examine, do they have a good reputation? Or do they come into the church very, very tainted? And sometimes you'll find that there's people, I'm not saying, and I won't give away their names because I've observed this myself, but they'll church hop. They'll go from one church to another church to another church to another church to another church. And they're there for I don't know how long, and then they move on, and something happens where they just don't either like the teaching, someone rubbed them wrong. But a true deacon gets past all that. And they're there to serve God. They're there to love the Lord. They're there to come alongside and not to contest. And so, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom." That's key. That's key to every Christian church around the world, is the people that are serving should be filled with the Spirit of God. Because if they're not filled with the Spirit of God, they're operating under their own unction, their own understanding, their own willpower. And you know what that leads to? Seriously, it leads to burnout. It leads to burnout because they're not empowered and infused by the Holy Ghost. "Full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over" what? "This business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Look at verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." Just imagine that your name is mentioned in heaven because God has named you. God has called you no differently than Stephen. And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor. I'm going to be challenged right now with these words. Timon. Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And so those were the deacons. Those were the ones that they laid hands, and they became servants of the Most High God. And what I love about the deacons, meaning the servants, and I've experienced this in churches. I've only attended 3 churches in my whole life. And what I love about the deacons is their servant heart. They just love to serve. They just praise God and worship God. And they're content on what they have. They're content with the gospel. They're content about their lives. And so while Luke never calls Stephen and his companion deacons, they have traditionally been told or have been held up as early models of the service of the Most High God. And that was an honor. Did you know that it's still an honor today to serve the Lord? It is. Never think you're pleasing the pastor, the church. No, it's all about Jesus. It has to be about Jesus. Can I get an amen? When I walk through these doors, I'm saying, Lord, thank you for another opportunity to serve you and to bless your name. Deacons must not only know God's truth, they must live it. Servants have to live it, resulting in a clear conscience. Their lifestyles must be consistent with their beliefs. This must necessarily be true for all Christians, and any man chosen for the office of the deacon will have shown these qualities beforehand. Listen, let me just say this. As a pastor of this church and those who serve, I'm just totally confounded on how God has blessed you, how God has just continued to bestow his blessings upon you because of your servant heart. It's like, man, because there are times where, and we've been here almost 8 years. There have been times where I wanted to throw in the towel. And God, you know what brings me back to a place of humility? I'm serious. Is God will show me where he delivered me from and where he dug me out from this world. And so when I look at that, I said, oh, God, forgive me for those thoughts. Forgive me for those thoughts. Thank you, God. Because I know that I could be like a little rag you can just toss away if I throw in the towel, because you'll get somebody else. And so I found it worthy as a deacon, as a pastor, to serve the Lord. And that's what I see in you. You guys love God. And that's what God is doing in your life. Can I get an amen? Let's go to verse 10 in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But let those also be tested. First tested. Look at this. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Saints, this refers not to some formal testing, but rather to observation by those who appoint deacons. The candidate will have shown the required moral characteristics and approved doctrine consistently in ordinary activities of church membership. Case in point, would you, as a pastor, would I appoint a deacon, meaning someone to serve, if they were flat out in rebellion to God? No. Because if I were to do that, then we're having just a social club. And we're not walking in the spirit of holiness. No, none of us are perfect. We'll never be perfect. But here's how you become blameless, is every day you're asking God to cleanse you, to wash you, to purify your heart, and you're walking in a spirit of humility. And that's where God looks at you, because he's covered you with his blood already. But you still have that heart, that repentant heart, to go before him every day and say, God, if I said something, if I've done something, if I allowed myself to be tainted of this world, God, forgive me. And so when you come before him like that in a spirit of humility, you are blameless before him, because the blood of Jesus covers every sin, doesn't it? Hallelujah. We don't take it for granted. We can't. We can't say, oh, I'm saved, and so let me just go do whatever I want. No. God has done something radical in our lives. And so there's a benchmark. There's a monumental time in your past where you can look back and say, man, this is where God found me. And because of that, I'm going to honor him until he takes me home. That has to be our mindset. That has to be our focal point. It's all about Jesus. Look at a couple of these scriptures that that I found, and then we'll move on to the next verse. Proverbs 10:9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. In other words, I like how Brother G says it sometimes, you know, and you know how you can fake the funk? In other words, living a life of duplicity. You're living one way outside of the church, and then you live another way in the church. Well, guess what? God will finally expose a person. And man, this is why we walk humbly before him. Can I get an amen? Look at the next verse of scripture here. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. And this is what the apostles were identifying with the deacons that they chose. Because remember, the only word of God they had was the Old Testament. They had the Proverbs and the Psalms, and they had the Torah. Let's go to the next verse. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Think about that for a moment. Think about that. Many of you have beautiful children. And because of your faithfulness, God, hallelujah, is faithful to them. He is. Even when they were in a time of rebellion, he brought them back. Didn't he? Oh, yes. Because God is faithful. He will always be faithful to his righteous. And we are righteous through Christ, not our own righteousness. Can I get amen? So let's go to verse 11. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. This is something that they really examined back in that time. But we should not judge, but identify, especially if you're labeled a deacon in the church, meaning a servant. As we kind of like suggested earlier, is that we need to walk in the ways of holiness. Can I get an amen? We can't live like the world no more. The world, what did that do to us? All it did was chew us up and spit us out and left us in the cold. Oh, yes, it did. Saints, in the Greek, the same word goon, which is G-U-N-E or gune, is used for woman and for wife no differently. So three possible interpretations have been given for the identity of these wives as we look at this scripture. Likewise, their wives must be reverent. Also, it can identify these sisters. Amen? So let's look at this right up here. These women were the deacons' wives. That was a strong possibility who Paul the apostle was referring to in Timothy. Or number two, these are women in general. However, the context of church leadership speaks against this interpretation. Why? Because these women are female deacons or deaconesses, such as Phoebe. Now, you remember Phoebe? I taught on Phoebe not too long ago. And Phoebe's mentioned in the Word of God for a reason. You know why? Because she served with her whole heart. There was no agenda. She wasn't looking for position. All she was looking is to serve the king. And when we find this in Romans 16:1, let's go there right now. Look, I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. In other words, she was spoken highly of. Listen, when it's time, we don't know what tomorrow brings, amen? But we know who brings tomorrow. That's the Lord. But when your time is over, say here at Amazing Grace, and God moves you on somewhere else, don't you want to leave with a great report? Huh? Don't you want to leave saying, man, these people served here with integrity. Well, this is Phoebe. She's a perfect example of someone who loved God and who served with their whole heart. Look at this, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Man, she was a blessing to Paul. Or he would have never wrote her name down and mentioned her. Let's go on to the next verse. In verse 12, look at this. It says, let the deacons be husbands of what? One wife, ruling their children and their own houses as well. So now, this is a further examination. See, what I've learned, saints, is there's the congregation, and then out of the congregation, God raises up servants. And then from the servants, then God elevates them even into a higher position in ministry, such as worship or other ministries of the church. Okay? And then some are even raised up to teach and to have a pulpit ministry. I never believed that I would ever have a pulpit ministry going back. And something just came to my mind. I think it was this morning. Yolanda and I, we were talking. I go, look what California has done. Now, I said, back in the day, before I was called, when I was living in my BC years, man, I was always looking and dodging and, you know, because of all the weed and all that. And now there's clinics, you just go buy it. And you know, what came to mind is, man, God, you spared me from a life of shame and a life of corruptness. And now these people can just get in line at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, what's wrong here? There's something wrong. And there's something wrong right now in our nation. We need to pray. This is why it's so important to pray for our nation these 4 nights that are coming up. Because if we don't pray, who will pray? Man, this state is going down a slippery slope. Did you know there are people that we may know, or maybe they're acquaintances, or maybe friends of friends, that are still in prison for marijuana? They're still doing time for marijuana. And now you can just go and go buy it. It's like, what's going on here? Something's out of order. Now, when it talks about the female deacons or deaconesses, one of the characteristics that Paul identifies is Paul expected the behavior of prominent women in the church to be just as responsible and blameless as the prominent men. In other words, everyone's equal at the cross. Can I get an amen? We don't live in Saudi Arabia where women are second-class citizens. And in the church of Christ, we're all equal. There's no big I's and little U's. Can I get an amen? They are to be respected and must not speak evil of others. That is, they must not have a problem with gossiping. And men, that pertains to us too. Can I get an amen on that? These sister saints, deaconesses, they should exercise what? Self-control. Their lives marked by moderation and limits, not extreme or excessive, with an absence of extravagance. Being faithful in everything that they do as an important requirement for everyone who would fulfill many duties on behalf of the congregation. In other words, the songs that we sing here on Sunday mornings, I give myself away, is these deaconesses were ones like Phoebe, they gave themselves away. Why? Because they learned to die to self and to live for the Lord. A helper who constantly forgets to fulfill her duties or only does them halfway is not suitable for service in the church. Although the women of the church of Ephesus were not, at least in the present circumstances, allowed to teach in the formal sense. We get that, you know, where it talks about a woman being silent. They were still expected to model all the character and qualities of mature believers. Can I get amen? And by the grace of God, that's what I've seen of you sisters, that you love the Lord. You guys carry yourself in a spirit of holiness. Can I get amen? And so Paul goes on to say in verse 12, let deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses as well. Saints, a deacon must be faithful to his wife. Can I get amen? And that's a servant, a pastor, an elder. It all pertains. And he must manage his children and household well, because God looks down upon that. And this requirement matches the requirement for elders spelled out in the verses 2 and 4 through 5. But look how Paul wrote this in the book of Philippians up here. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And that's how we should live our lives. Can I get an amen? Thinking of the best and not the worst. It's easy to think of the worst of someone, but can you find in your heart to think of the best and the qualities that God has given that person? Because there's qualities beyond measure that God has given each and every one of us. And we should always hold to and true to those. Can I get amen? Amen. Let's go back now to verse 13 in 1 Timothy 1 and 3. For it says, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, those who fulfill their servant roles faithfully will be rewarded with respect from others who recognize and appreciate their service. This is why when I see you coming and going, I just have a huge smile for you and a hug and a praise the Lord. Why? Because I see what God is doing in your heart. God is doing mighty things in your life. I know some of you have come from other churches and they ended up here. But while you're here, I want to show you my respect, my love, and to honor God and to honor you as servants of the Most High God. Can I get an amen? Because that's what Paul did. He recognized it. He would have never written this down if these weren't true. True of them and true of us. True of you. And I'm so blessed to be around your lives. I really am. I didn't know you. Most of you I didn't know 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But for such a time as this, God has brought all of you to my life, and God has brought me to your life. And you know what? It's been a joy ride serving the Lord and serving with you. Can I get an amen? Because God is good. And he's worthy to be praised. This is why we sing to him. This is why we love him. This is why we adore him. And so, in Proverbs, look at Proverbs 28:18. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. So think about that for a moment. These people that Paul had asked to lay hands on, These people, the Spirit of God examined their hearts already. And then they were revealed to these men of God that these are faithful servants, that they love God, and they're not living a life of duplicity, a double-minded life, a double-minded mind. You see, saints, the faithful servant is able to speak boldly of the faith and serve confidently. So when you know that you're walking in the will of God, called out from darkness into his marvelous light. Guess what? In layman's terms, there's not a monkey on your back no more. You're walking in freedom. Freedom in Christ. That old life that we once were entangled with is gone. It's no more. God took his eraser and erased everything of your past. And the Bible says he sees your sin no more. What? Man, to know that should give you great joy and enthusiasm to serve him, to love him. So never think that serving God is a duty. If you think it's a duty, then you kind of steered off the point or the mark. It's we serve him because we love him and we adore the Lord. Thank you, God. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found, what? Faithful. That's all God is calling us. See, once God saves us, God is asking us one thing. Because he saved us, he's cleansed us, he's washed us. He has placed us now on a firm foundation where we never had a foundation before. And now we're on the rock. Christ has come to die for you and I. And so, saints, one of the things that we must remember is because he has done that miraculous work in our lives, what should be noticed in your life, in my life, is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. If we walk around like we have a saladito in our mouth, and that's kind of like how you live your life, there's something out of order, isn't there? But when the Holy Ghost comes, hallelujah, and he fills our total being, that is our hope, our guarantee, our joy. Hallelujah. More precious than fine gold is that we would receive that gift that only comes from heaven. And when you get a hold of that, saints, I'm telling you, God will take you deep with him, further than you've ever been. Because until God takes me home, I want to serve him with my whole heart, soul, and mind. Even when things are tough. Even when things don't go right in your life for some reason. And we're filled with adversity. You know, as a pastor in 8 years, as pastoring a church, I've seen mountaintops and I've seen valleys. And God has shown me one thing. Is they're going to happen in life. But I've called you to be faithful, Pastor Fee. Just be faithful unto me. And I'll work out all the intricate details because it's his church. Can I get an amen? And God will work out all those things in your life. All the adversity, all the trials, all the tribs. When we come into financial woes, when we come to emotional distraught, when we come into physical illness, when we have relational issues with other folks, God says, then don't focus on that. Focus on me. The brother that set up all of our audio 7 years ago, Brother Tony Abbott, he maintains our website. He had a word for me today. He told me that God has called him for a time right now of prayer and intercessory prayer for churches that he's, and for men and women of God that has surrounded his life and people that he knows. And when we were just speaking on this new year, and he asked if I needed any updating on the website, maybe revitalize it, maybe do something new with it, we were talking about that, and he goes, Pastor Fee, this is not a coincidence that you and I are chatting right now. He goes, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that God's perfect will be done. And I said, thank you, brother. Because every now and then, we don't need a pat on the back, but we need a word of encouragement. Can I get an amen? It's not about, oh, man, you're doing a great job. No. It's about, man, I just need to be encouraged that everything's going to be all right. When you're in Christ, you're in His hands. And come what may, people will come and go in your life. Your children will come and go in your life. Things will happen in life. And God is saying, don't look to the circumstance, but look unto me. For Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So always remember that the road sometimes will become rocky, but we got to stay focused on the Lord. Can I get amen? So let's go to verse 14 in 1 Timothy chapter 3. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Okay, now he's getting a little deeper with the servants, with the deacons and those who are called out, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is why Jesus said, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. And so, saints, again, in opposition to the false teachers, remember when we opened up in chapter 1, there was a whole bunch of false teachers who were full of false beliefs. Paul aimed at truthful behavior within the church. He had to clean up the Corinthian church. He had to clean up the Roman church. He had to clean up the Ephesus church. And why did he have to clean up these churches? Because for many years, their whole lives as Gentile believers didn't know the ways of God, didn't know the ways of holiness. And so what brought to my mind is when I first got saved, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I had no inclination of the Word of God. I had no understanding of God's Word. All I know is that I was saved and I was filled with joy. Well, these men and women that got saved in all these cities, in all these other countries, I was no different from them, and they were no different from me, and they were no different from you and you from them. Because when you first get saved, man, you're filled with so much joy, man. The zeal of the Lord is upon you, man. You want to tell everybody about Jesus. But then we find out that as you continue to walk and mature in Christ, that God has to sometimes make corrections. Because we're not to live like the world anymore. Can I get amen? And it's tough. It's tough because the world has a pull. The world still has a lure line almost and is always continually trying to reel us in and make us think, oh, man, you're missing it. You're missing all this and missing all that. No, I'm glad I'm missing all this and I'm missing all that. You know why? Because I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. There's a bigger, hallelujah, prize awaiting for you and I if we just hold on. We just got to hold on. And so Paul aimed truthful for the behavior of the church. Actions speak louder than words. Can I get amen? And in harmony, they create an attractive song. Listen, when you're loving God and you're living the life that God's called you, it's not a perfect life. If you think we're going to live a perfect life, think again. We live the saved life. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that even through all of our mistakes and trials and whatever we go through, that God still chose to save us? So we're never going to be perfect, but we can stand blameless before Him. Blameless doesn't mean you're perfect. You got to separate those two. perfect was Christ and Him alone. But standing before God blameless is because He's, number one, covered you with His blood. He has sanctified you, filled you with His Spirit. Hallelujah. And now you can walk blameless before Him. Why? Because you're a child of the living God. And so, saints, Paul also knew that if he got the Ephesian Christians behaving as God wanted them to live, the noise of the false teachers would be drawn down. And unfortunately, there are organizations that they don't care how you live. You can live real loosely. Just make sure you catch the tithe and offering box on your way out. Shame on me. Shame on those who are just fleecing the flock. There has to be conviction in our lives. There has to be moral standards in our life. Now, there's no rules and regs. But here's the thing. There's purity in the Holy Ghost. And God will purify our hearts. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like He's the one that checks us out the door before we hit the door. Man, if we're dressing, you know, inappropriately, man, I'm telling you, God will check me at the door. We'll check Sister Delana at the door. I know. Something that we have to reverence God, as we taught last week. Reverence Him, meaning love Him, adore Him. Now, I know there's some ministries that they require that you wear a suit and, you know, and this and that. And just in the spirit of meekness and holiness, come clothed in His righteousness and He'll teach you. He'll teach you. He'll dress you. And you'll know what's inappropriate and not appropriate. Can I get amen? So lest there be any doubt, Paul identified the household of God as the church of the living God. And there were a couple of scriptures that Paul had to come and truly speak, especially to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, man, had to be put in order. And here's the thing. Is once you come into the knowledge of the truth, then there's no more what? There's no more excuse. Can I get amen? So when God brings and reveals things to you, it's now up to you to say, oh God, am I going to walk in the spirit of meekness and holiness before You, or am I going to choose to do otherwise? Well, look what we see here, what he wrote to the Corinthian church. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So with that alone, knowing that the Spirit of God lives in us, should we walk differently than what He has called you to be and how He has raised you up? Or do we still identify with the world? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. This is not a physical temple that the Jews went to pray at on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. We are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, I'm saying this kiddingly, but shame on us if we're in that line at 6 in the morning that we spoke of earlier. Huh? God delivered us from that, huh? Thank God. Thank God. I'm so thankful. Because I truly believe, as an ex-marijuana smoker, being lit up, that would allow demons to come in your mind. If you could recall back, for those who have experienced it, there used to be 10 thoughts going on at one time. What it did, it altered your physical being and allowed the spiritual realm to come in and infiltrate. So in other words, you have let your conscience guard down, and now the enemy's in there causing all kinds of havoc. and polluting your mind with ungodliness. There's nothing godly about that. I hope you know that. Anything that God says it's part of sorcery, the word sorcery in Greek is pharmacia. It comes from pharmaceutical. It comes to drug. It goes all the way down. And THC is the number one what? Chemical drug that's in marijuana. So all that is going to be cast into the lake of fire. This is why Paul had to speak harshly to this Corinthian church, because they were dabbling in things. Now, we don't know if they were smoking weed or whatever, but a lot of their behaviors was sexual immorality. Look at 2 Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Look at verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God had said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Can I get an amen that identifies you and I? Amen? That's us. He's walking in us. We are bought with a price. We are his. But then he goes on and further, he tells this church back then, and it should be no differently than the churches around the world today, is therefore, if you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not, what? Touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Look at this. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. A lot of times you can read this, and it goes like this right over you. Or churches won't even bring this up in their sermons. This is why I love about Wednesday night. It's book, chapter, and verse, and whatever's on the docket, that's what's taught and preached. Can I get an amen? Amen. You can't sidestep anything in God's word. Now, I know Sunday mornings are topical, but on Wednesday nights is where you're going to get the meat. Amen. You're going to get the meat. Hallelujah. And look at this. And you shall be, look at this, you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Saints, these believers, each serving and worshiping in their individual churches, are the pillar and support of God's truth. We need to be the truth. We can't live like the world no more. And it's tough. You know why it's so tough? I'll tell you why it's so tough. Because we have some beloved family and friends who are close to our heart. And we can see that sometimes you can see the world. And you know what that's a reflection of? Of you could be no different, and you pray for them and don't judge them. You just pray for them. Say, oh God, Brother Tony's praying for me. He goes, I'm praying for you, Pastor Fee. I'm praying that God will continue to fortify you and strengthen you. Because there's challenges in ministry. Did you know that? There's challenges. I think one of the most challenging things with a pastor is when you have faithful servants who say, hey, I'm moving on. That hurts. But I should, as a pastor, and any pastor, should rejoice and be thankful for the servanthood that they distributed amongst the saints. Can I get an amen? So it becomes like bittersweet. Bitter because you're going to miss them. Sweet is because, man, they served. And there's no other way to look at it. And so as a pastor, You go through the mountaintops and you go into the valleys. And there can't be woe is me. God has shown me to be thankful in all things and to gird yourself in truth and love. Can I get an amen? Saints, these believers, each serving and worshiping in their own individual churches, were the pillars and the support of the truth of God. The church is not the source of this truth. Rather, it functions as the custodian of and the witness of the truth. That's what we are. We're the witnesses of the truth. And those who believe God's truth have the power to change the world. So, we got 10 minutes here. Let's look at this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Isn't that something? And so let's look at this. We need to dissect this for these next few minutes. Number one, Christ appeared in the flesh. Jesus was a man. His incarnation provides the basis for our being right with God. See, he came down sinless to be amongst us who were sinful. And so he had to come so that we can tangibly touch him. They touched him. He was around their lives for 3.5 years. His parents raised him up for 30 years. And he was amongst us, the living God. And all the miracles he did, the book of John says that the word of God cannot contain everything he did. So in other words, all the miracles that we saw and read of him doing, it pales comparison to what he actually did. And we have no recollection of other than there would be not enough books to write about it. But when we see him face to face, hallelujah, we're going to see everything that he has done. And we're going to rejoice. We're going to be with him. So Philippians 2 and 7, look what it says here. It says, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he came with humility. You remember what they did. They beat him. They mocked him. It didn't matter. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He came to be like us. He had to find out. God had to come down and experience our life. And when he was on the cross, every sickness, every trial, everything that we can go through in life, he experienced it on the cross, even death. Wow. Thank you, God. In Romans 1 and 3, look at this. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Let's look at our second point. He was shown to be righteous by the Spirit. Jesus' resurrection showed that the Holy Spirit power was in him. Oh, yes, it was. Look what we see in Acts 2:32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. This is now Luke writing. He wrote the book of Acts. Therefore, being exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out on this which you now see and hear. Wow. And saints, this is what I'm looking forward to these next 4 nights and Sunday morning, is we got the evangelist in town. Man, I'm telling you, for some, you may be in a desert place. Haven't felt the power of God just flow. When's the last time can you recall being drunk in the Spirit? We need those times of refreshing. Can I get an amen? Every one of us do. Number three, he was seen by angels. Jesus is divine, and he was exalted. Look at Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed, look at it, he disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them, meaning all the demons and the angels in heaven were witnesses to it. That's why the book of Hebrews says there is now a cloud of witnesses. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He disarmed them for you and I. That we would walk in His grace today. That we would walk in His glory. That we would speak of the name of God and highly exalt the King. Hallelujah. That alone should excite us, should inspire us to keep serving. Can I get an amen? To keep pressing. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Hallelujah. One day it's going to be all worth it all. Can I get an amen? It'll be worth it all. Oh, yes, it will. Look at what it says in Hebrews. But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, let all the angels of God worship Him. Look at that. And the angels, He says, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. You are His ministers, and the flame of fire lives in us. Listen, you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night if the Holy Ghost wasn't in you. Think about that for a moment. Just think about that. There's other things. Maybe you just want to stay home and watch CSI. I don't know. But you're here because the Spirit of God lives in you, and you just want to grow. And I'm not going to judge people in our church and other churches, because I remember I came from a church that was 3,000. And on Wednesday nights, that was just a couple hundred. And so do the math. Do the math. The ones that God, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire, man, I'm going to boldly say, that's us who love Him, who worship Him, who loves His word. Thank you, God. It's what He has done in our life. See, the entire drama of the incarnation was a spectacle for the angels. They were witnesses and heralds of His coming. But within the poetic expression, the role of the angels and their exposure to Christ exceeds His time on earth, because they were created beings before we even came into existence. And yet they were a witness when time finally came to see the Son of God who came down to be with us. Wow. Look at this. He was announced to the nations, pointing to the worldwide proclamation of the gospel. The gospel has been preached around the world. I want you to just catch this for a moment. In the book of Matthew 24, Jesus said that before He comes back, what's going to be preached? We all think the gospel will be preached. If you read again, is the gospel of the heaven, the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference. The kingdom of heaven is His second coming down. So read that again when you get into Matthew. I should have put this up there. That just came to me. It's not the gospel's already been around the world. It's preaching now the kingdom of heaven. Wow, there's a difference. And that yet needs to be preached around the world, and then the end will come. Do we have a time frame? No. God is just saying, live for Me, for Jesus, and I'll take care of your life. Whether I come sooner or later, knowing that we are His. Look at this in Colossians 1:23. We're coming in for a close. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So it's preached around the world, the gospel. Hallelujah. And you and I are recipients of that grace. In point number 5, He was believed on in the world. Christ is not only preached amongst all the nations, but he is also believed on across the whole entire world. This points to a continual fulfillment today as Christ is still preached in nations that have not heard of him. There are still, this is why we need to pray. When we come out and pray, there's going to be a day, I believe, set aside where we pray for our nation, the state of the union, our state, our local cities. Why? Because since 1963, the Word of God and prayer was removed from the public arena. So when you go talk to a 12-year-old, you see him on the street, ask him who's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ask him who's Noah. Who's Samson? Most of them will not have a clue. This country needs to get back to its roots. Can I get an amen? It needs to come back to the truth. If we're going to exist as a nation and survive as a nation, we got to get back to the Word of God. Do I wish more would come out on Wednesday night? Yeah, of course. As a pastor, you want people to grow. But it's the ones God brings. And so the ones that God brings, he's called me to teach them. Just be faithful and teach those who he brings. You can't control that other aspect. You can't. Or you'll be just pounding your head against the wall. And I could only take a bruise. Then I'm crying. Oh. Our last final point. Finally, he was taken up into heaven. Saints, this refers to the ascension. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that his rule might fill the entire universe. And we close in this verse right here. He who descended in Ephesians 4:10 is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And so I am so blessed for concluding chapter 3 in 1 Timothy. And I'm so blessed that you all came out. And I'm looking forward to Sunday morning. We're going to have the preacher up here turn loose. We're going to turn them loose. I told him the other day, I go, brother, we even got a cordless mic for you. I remember, man, trying to put this thing on him, man, it would be behind his ear. And then if we try to put a cordless mic here, it would drop down his suit. So now you can walk around with a cordless mic. Can I get an amen? And you know what he said to me? Man, tell some friends and family to come out. He said, God has a tremendous word for us. He's been praying and fasting. He knew about this assignment a couple of months ago. And so I'm looking forward to it. And I said, I want to know, you know, for Yolanda and I as helping leading this church, is there correction in my life? Do I need some edification? Do I need a rebuke? Whatever the case may be, I want to hear it, Lord. I need to know it's from you, God. Because none of us are above reproach. If you think you're above reproach, think again. Not even the senior pastor. We're not above reproach. We can all be corrected sometimes in our life. And we have to receive it gracefully. And so I'm excited about these 4 days coming. So let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, I'm praying, Lord, for those right now who you are calling out of darkness into your marvelous light. I'm praying, Lord, that you would do a miraculous thing in their life like you did for us. Lord, that you would draw them out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we're looking unto you, the author and finisher of our faith, that you would go before us, Lord, and continue to bless our lives as we continue to serve you with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And Lord, we know, Lord, there's nothing that we do that it's in vain. For you are the one that records every second of our life. And you write what we do in the books. And those books are forever settled in heaven. And so, God, would you be glorified and magnified and high and lifted up? And, Lord, I'm praying as a congregation, God, as we prepare for the four nights of prayer, Lord, that you would give us a heart to receive all that you have for us. And maybe you're listening to this message and you've never surrendered. We're going to ask that you would pray this simple prayer of faith that God can do the miraculous in your life. He could pull you out of the dilemma you may be in right now. Maybe you were told of the goodness of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age, and maybe you've been running from the call in your life, and now's a moment of truth. God is speaking clearly to your life right now. And if that's you right now, pray this simple prayer and allow God to do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the